Diary, I will be the first to admit that, to the outside observer, Ongrave is a pretty spooky place. And sure, as its regent, I am somewhat to blame for that. But it's hard to sympathize with the teeth-chattering babies who can't handle the occasional monster encounter because I'm only afraid of one thing. And, well, as vast and vindictive as that thing may be, I neutralized it years ago. Well, okay, two things. I don't like little bugs. Yuck. No thanks. You can keep 'em.
I always feel like you need to have like a kisses, like some kind of like, okay, love you, bye.
It is a diary, so I don't know.
You don't sign off your diary?
I don't sign off my diary with kisses to my future self.
That would be wild. Okay. Yeah, for sure.
I sign off all of mine.
Wild. Yeah.
I sign off all of mine. Thank you, reader, because I just assume it someday it will be published. As like
I start all my journal entries with dear history.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So
mine is dear future husband, here's some things you need to know.
The three of you have just had a somewhat disturbed night's rest by an encounter with the Invisible Man.
But
you
have
and then you all got down with the sickness.
We're trying to sleep and that guy's like, ooh, it's three
it's
in the
terrible.
Morning.
That's actually the sound the Invisible Man makes.
We reference between down with the sickness references and disturbed references. We reference that too much.
We do. It's an outsized amount.
I love it.
For the year 2024. You all have had a long rest, so go ahead and do that to your characters. Rest them up. Get all those tasty spell slots and hit points.
I'm going to do my daily ritual of concocting an experimental elixir.
Okay, cool.
So I roll a
D20? No.
No, a six. What was it? Does it? I can't read it. It is
a one.
A one. Okay. That would be a healing. Okay, strict healing.
Cool.
Elixir regains a number of hit points equal to 2d4 and your intelligence modifier. So I'll add that to the old list.
That may come in handy.
Griffin, I've added the Chupacabra friendship bracelet to my collection of teeth and trophies.
Yeah, it's a magic item, unless you fly and shoot a laser.
No, I'm just doing that for flavor.
Yeah,
because it's going to be obviously a huge plot point. It was introduced as a cliffhanger at the end of the last episode.
Yeah, no, the cliffhangers always introduce huge plot points, like the fact that your dad is a crossbow bolt, and
exactly.
We definitely will come back to that.
Yeah,
you all walk. Through what would normally be the morning, but it's always night in Ongrave, until you pass the borders of the Ungentle Wood and traipse down the road a bit toward the Black Lagoon. And after a few hours' journey, you arrive. You approach a sort of gentle hill rolling downward towards a horseshoe-shaped body of water, bordered on all sides by a towering wall of shale rock. True to its name, the waters of this lagoon are black as pitch, clouded by runoff and peppered with sort of wooden debris from this flooded quarry's fallen mining operations. Where the land cuts into this lagoon, you all can see a pretty shoddy-looking dock that has been constructed leading out into the water. And at the base of that dock, a similarly like shoddy, handcrafted boathouse. There is a small boat with an onboard motor at the end of this dock, sitting motionless on the oily waters of the Black Lagoon. There's also a soft glow emanating from through the windows of this boathouse. The lights are on inside, but you all are still a good distance away up this hill leading down into where the lagoon sits.
And for the reader, why are we here?
You all have come to the Black Lagoon after a tip from the dearly departed Wolfman that the iron mines that run underneath
departed from its head
can allow you to pass through the Stranglemire towards Dracula's castle, and the only entrance that he knows of that you have access to is this flooded quarry that is now the Black Lagoon. The iron mines are where the cult of the buried blood have taken up residence, and the way that they move around, nobody seems to know. But this is your way in to a tunnel system that can lead you to Dracula's castle. But
listen,
yeah,
listen, man, I know we're on our way to like fight Dracula and Glasgow. This place is gorgeous. Like, you ever seen like a lagoon? Like, what was it, Black Lagoon? You ever seen anything like this before? Black water.
It has a certain nobility. Certain. It's a little grimy for my tastes, but
I just think
place for a resort. Maybe one of those all inclusive resorts.
I just think it's amazing how like nature will take it back. Like stuff like this, where like, you know, man kind of came in and, let's be honest, fucked it up, right? Dug a big old pit or whatever, and nature was like, I'm going to make something beautiful out of this.
This is heartbreaking to me. I'm just now realizing the two of you have never experienced anything approaching elegance. But this is terrible.
Oh,
look around at it. It's rather filthy. Have you three ever tried canapé?
Who's the third one?
Who is our third?
Oh, the dog?
The dog, yes, of course.
Oh, Aggie, yeah. No, Aggie's had canapé. She loves that shit. She's a classy bitch, and I can say that because she's a female dog, but yeah. I've never had it before, not for me. I'm a simple man, simple taste, simple thirst. That's why I drink.
I too, just gruel. We had a lot of gruel at the Abbey. I have never had a canapé before.
I can't decide whether or not I should be incredibly sad for you, which I am, or jealous that the merest delight could be unto you like a miracle. Imagine if someone gave you a baked Alaska, for example. You'd probably lose your mind.
You can bake a state?
Amazing.
Whoa. Alaska's a state?
It's like, now listen,
it's like
hold on.
To hyper-evolved chimps.
I understand that this mission to kick Dracula's ass and take his teeth or what have you is all important. Is it urgent, though? Because we could take a side journey and go somewhere classy like you're describing. You could introduce us to all this stuff if you want.
My hope is that before our time together has ceased, I will be able to show you the true upper crust of Engrave. Because this, my friends, we call this the Redneck Riviera. Is how we talk about the Black Lagoon. That's
oh,
what
I
we
love
say.
That. That sounds great.
It's a trashy vacation spot.
I love that.
Do they have a Wings? Is there a Wings nearby?
There's three Wings and an Eagle.
Oh, my God.
There's a Wings Beach Shop, an Eagle Beach Shop, and a Surf Bum Emporium.
Oh. Is there somewhere?
We could get a conch shell with googly eyes.
Goodbye, a hermit crab at the mini golf.
Oh, gosh.
They got somewhere where I can get a beer that's a yard long.
I feel like if I talk about this more, I'm going to contract psoriasis.
Well, then we should... Let's keep this in mind for a follow-up mission.
Moving forward, though.
Maybe a live show.
You better believe I've written side quest experience luxury in my notes. Okay, so you guys didn't actually do anything.
Oh, and then I walked down the hill.
Didn't we, Griffin?
No, you did. You delighted a nation. But what do your characters now do about this? If you guys want to duck out and head to, food store to get fancy food. That's fine.
I'm going to knock on the boathouse door. See what's popping.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, Griffin, all we've seen is we need to get into the place. We got to swim through the water. Here's a welcoming glow.
Sure.
You know, boathouse.
Yeah.
Seems like we could get help there. Like, of the stuff we've encountered so far, this all seems pretty straightforward and nice.
I have a D&D rule. You want to hear my D&D rule? If there's only
I want to hear it. I love it.
If there's only one door, go in it.
Go right
there.
Yeah,
I love that. Good one.
You walk up to the door of the boathouse and knock on it. As you do, the door sort of rattles precariously as it is so shittily made. you hear a splash from inside and the creaking of floorboards. And then the door is thrown open and off of its hinges, which was just two sticks.
Out?
Inward. Ripped inward. And you see standing before you a creature, a man-shaped creature, perhaps at some point, maybe a sexy fish man a la Shape of Water in his time, but now what you see before you is a 6.5 foot tall, scaled creature who is just sort of ashen-scaled and sullen-eyed, and as he opens the door and looks at you, he licks his lips and is panting.
Hey, man, what's... I'm Crawford Muttner. You can call me Mutt. Everybody does. What's up? Hello. You broke your door.
He looks at you hungrily. And then he leans down and picks a bucket of water up off the floor and dumps it on himself. And you see a little bit of life return to this fish man, and he says,
"It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm Gordon Clearwater, and welcome to my lagoon and my boathouse. Come on in, come on in."
He gestures you into his boathouse.
Okay, is there room for all of us?
It'll be tight, but the more the merrier, is what I always say.
Brother Philo casts mend on the door to fix it, as a gesture of goodwill.
Okay. Let me
get that for you.
Here. You mend the door. It's really just two sticks acting as the hinges. So, I mean, you fix it as good as you think you can, but it's entirely likely that you are going to destroy this thing on your way out.
Just giving away your spell slots.
He says...
No, that was a cantrip.
Oh, thank God. Okay, thank God.
He says, can I make you a cuppa?
Cuppa what? Oh, tea.
I will pass on the fish tea. Thank you so much for this.
It's a regular tea with leaves and everything.
Oh, alright. Go on then. Yes, of course I'll have a cuppa.
Three cuppas. Oh, four. Gotta make one for my wife, Elizabeth.
He points in the corner. There's just like a basketball there. He goes over to the Black Lagoon and scoops his bucket up in it. And he pours some more on himself. And then he scoops up another bucket.
So there's a hole in the floor, right?
I mean, it's a boathouse, so the back wall is just exposed to the water.
Okay, I got you.
He walks over and he takes his bucket and he pours it in a trash can with some kelp in it, and he just kind of like picks it up and shakes it a bunch, and it sloshes all over the place, and then he pours it into three cups and hands it to you all.
So what brings you to my special lagoon, my little watering hole?
Well, be honest, man, we gotta swim down in it. Get through it to the other side, you know what I mean?
Going for a little late night swim in the Black Lagoon.
No, it's technically morning, but yeah, I could see.
I lose track. No clocks. Never learned how to read time myself. Isn't that right, Elizabeth?
Does Elizabeth say anything?
No, it's a basketball.
Hey, man, we're living in a magical world with a fish and wolf and stuff, and you want me to assume the basketball doesn't talk?
Good point.
Sorry, I don't believe we've been introduced. Where is this Elizabeth?
Oh, she's right there in the corner. Can't you tell from her distinctive color?
Oh, she's sort
bright
of...
an orange.
An orange? Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so how did you two meet?
Was that?
How did you two meet?
Oh,
I'm a sucker for cute stories of young love.
is adorable. I had to go to the mall because I had to return some blue jeans at the Gap. And so I went there and I was looking around and I thought, you know, I may have let myself go a little bit. Maybe I should go and take up jogging. And so I did. I went over to the Dick's Sporting Goods and I saw her across the aisle and I thought, there she is. There she is, my lady love.
Oh, that is... That is a story for the ages.
I had to buy her.
That's a tale as old as time, even.
I had to buy her.
I'll be honest. Oh. At the beginning of that story, I did not think it would be as long as it turned out to be.
Well, my apologies.
But it paid off in romance. And I love that.
Yes. This is weird. This is strange. You all just wandered into my home. It's not sort of thrilling.
You invited us.
You invited us in.
Yes, well, yes. I didn't really know you were going to give me the third degree on my basketball wife.
I'm just getting to know your basketball. So you see a ball as well.
What's that?
You see a ball.
Yeah, it's a ball. I see a ball because it's a ball.
That's a good point.
Do you have any children? Are there any, like, handballs around?
You tell me how that... You tell me how that
everyone
would work.
Shut up. Any ball boys?
Yeah, puppet man. First of all, that's weird.
I realize now every character that interacts with you guys does need to take a beat to be like, one of you's a puppet.
Otherwise, the verisimilitude just collapses. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's weird, but my wife's a basketball, so who am I? Gordon Clearwater. You need to make your way over to the... You gotta go through the tunnels. You're trying to get into the Iron Mine. You all ate those berry blood weirdos, are you?
No. Man, we're I would say in opposition to them. You know what I mean? Like, you don't like them. And we don't like them either, so...
All right. That sounds good enough for me. I tell you what. I can get you through... Waters in the back lagoon.
It's not great.
It's not great for swimming. I love it.
That's a wet talker, huh? Like a really wet talker. Like, I get it. But...
Actually, as he is talking to you, you see his scales growing like more and more and more gray and ashen. He goes, oh, won't take it. He scoops out a bucket of water, dumps it on himself.
I would love to take you through there. I can get you through the quarry, no problem. Might have some trouble with the puppet, depending on sort of the buoyancy of his wooden...
Yes, I will need something to weight myself down. Probably.
Oh, it's no problem. I have the same problem with Elizabeth.
Yes.
So I can get you through there. The only problem is I can't really go into the Black Lagoon at the moment. Because there is just a nasty little fish who's taken up residence there. And he does not like it when I... go into, and all my stuff's down there, except for me bucket and me wife. And so...
I'm sorry, a nasty what?
Nasty little fish. Little fang-toothed little bastard. And if he wasn't there no more, I could definitely take you in. So do you think maybe you'd be willing to do old Gordon a favor and catch this big nasty fish for me?
Sure, you got like a fishing rod or...
A big net? Something.
Yeah. There might be some stuff out in me boat.
Can you speak with the fishes? Sorry, what was your name?
Gordon.
Gordon.
Can you speak with the fishes?
Gordon Clearwater.
Yes, of course. Gordon, can you speak...
Somewhat ironic name, wouldn't you agree?
Because of the... Because Mrs. Gordon, the fish stick person?
No, it's a Clearwater.
That was a good one, though. Yes.
Oh, is it Clearwater because it's like a murky... Water.
Sorry, I'm trying to ascertain if you can speak to fish.
Can you speak to fish?
No, I assume that you were some sort of master.
You
of this.
Can hold up. Wait a second. I was being a little bit snarky there, a bit of a rat ass. But you, I was taking a piss. But you can talk
right
to
there
fish.
In front of us, man. That's gross.
It's part of the physiology. You don't have to judge.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, man. I should. Yeah. No, yeah, I can speak to fish.
There's no okay, are we saying that
speak
to
with animals? I have speak with animals, dude.
I don't feel like that should
fish
work on
ain't
fish.
Animals.
Sorry, excuse me, Griffin? You're going to plant a flag on fish ain't animals?
I feel like if you read the rules probably say, but no fish, though, because that would be fucking
That's crazy.
Crazy.
They can't talk. But fish can't talk.
He says, no, I can't talk to fish.
What do you think? Just because I have scales?
Yeah, man, it says right here, but not fucking fish, though.
Okay, great. Glad you looked that up. Trav, I hate to rules lawyer you, but...
I just want to know more about the little fish. Is it... why can't you handle this? You seem like the master of this lagoon.
He's pretty fast, and he's got sharp fangs, which is rude for a fish.
When you say little...
Yeah.
How little do you mean?
Yeah, you being ironic.
He's little in character. I will say that.
Okay.
In rudeness, you wouldn't say that's a big man. You would say he has a small personality.
And size wise,
physically,
catch and release.
Yes, I mean, if you can manage it, I don't care what happens to
All right,
fish,
so he's big, man. Just say, like, I don't know why you're being coy.
In fishing parlance, that's called a lunker.
So
he's
sorry.
A lunker.
I don't know why you're being coy.
There you go.
isn't that something?
Now you're taking a piece.
Yep, right here.
So,
listen.
Yeah.
We are, I would love to assist.
Griffin, just for reference, taking the piss... Not taking a piss.
No, Gordon says it taking a piss.
Okay.
It's a cultural thing.
It's a cultural thing that you would not understand.
Listen, we would love to assist you, but I will be honest and say that all of our abilities are rather more land-based than sort of aquatic combat that would be required to deal with this is a little bit beyond our scope, I think.
What you just said is crazy. Because do fishermen go out in their boats like time for some aquatic combat?
Are you suggesting we... Oh. Well, that is interesting. What if we could lure this fish out of the water, out of its element, and then perhaps smite it in after that fashion?
Like onto land?
Yes. Course.
Okay, it's going to have to be a pretty enticing offer to get a fish to go up on the land, I will say. Quite a honeypot you're going to have to construct there.
I think all we need is bait.
Gotta be pretty good bait for a fish to go, time to walk. It took us millions and millions of years to accomplish that back in the Cambrian era.
Hook it. You hook it.
Mm-hmm.
The mechanics of fishing are perhaps anathema to you. You hook the fish and you drag it against its will.
Yeah. And we're going to need some kind of bobber, something that floats on the surface that we can say move.
We need bait, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
What if they were one in the same?
Yes. But what if the dog was the bait and your wife was the bobber? No, we don't love this. There's a lot of, I'm feeling a push against it.
Hear me out. What if we had something that floated that could move around and get this fish's attention?
Yes.
Right? But maybe was made of a maybe biting resistant material that
where
we could
we
then.
Find? Where would we find such a thing? Something that is cognizant and animated and
and
floats on the water. That's,
yeah.
That's. Oh.
Oh, you're thinking a little bit of a woody pot. Oh. Like a bit.
Yeah, man.
Ooh. Now that's interesting. So. The fish, I'm trying to understand the mechanics. So the boy is floating at the top of the water, and the fish sees and he thinks, oh my, yes indeed. And then he leaps into the air. Now, at what point, how do we get the fish from the water
to
more of a land-based?
I gotcha. So here's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
The fish swallows him. We got rope tied around him. We pull him in. We got ourselves kind of a monstro kind of deal here, right? A little wooden boy gets swallowed by a big aquatic creature. Then we reel him on
in. Where is your extremely powerful reel?
Oh, I'm looking at her right there with them two big fish lifters.
Gordon, it's me.
I
will reel the fish. Oh, this is interesting.
So let me see if I get this straight. You're not willing to risk your dog.
Correct.
But you are willing to risk me, your boon companion.
Well, buoy companion.
You
float and you're...
I have no argument left. That's it. You've got me there.
All right. Buoy boy in the water. The rest of you, wait. I guess. No, we need to hook this. I think, Gordon, Let me just ask you, Gordon. How are
he's
you?
He's kissing his wife.
Sorry, I thought you were done with me.
Gordon, what do you think of our plan? Gordon.
Well, I guess the question is, what's the... There's a fishing rod out in the boat. I'm not entirely confident that it will be able to get this fish, small as though it may be, up and out of the water. But some sort of rope and sharp thing is typically kind of like half of the course when it comes to fishing-based plans.
So, Buoy Boy, is there anything that you have in your bag of tricks that could, once within, which I know you don't like to contemplate, but let's be realistic, that is the ideal scenario. Mm-hmm. Once within the fish, do you have any sort of concoctions or like gut-burning fiddle-faddle?
Well, actually, I have something that can add to that. I have Alter Self, which will allow me to adapt to an aquatic environment, sprouting gills and growing webbing between my fingers.
That would be, wholly upsetting. I mean, the idea to even picturing that made me quite upset.
Well, but then I can also use that spell to grow fangs, claws, spines, horns, or different natural weapons. If that can't impale the fishy's mouth,
now we're talking.
I don't know what can.
Yeah, that one's good. I like that a lot. This might also help you out. And Crawford hands him his sickle.
Oh.
Very hook-shaped.
Sure. Extremely hook-shaped.
Deeply. I like it. I like it a lot.
So here's what I'm thinking. This is the we're going to take a rope. It's going to wind around the beach.
Can we just do it? Can we like...
Yeah, sure.
Can we blades in the dark it a little bit and just like do it instead of talking about it and then doing it?
Okay.
Where are you guys? You have a few options as to where you are, your base of operations for this move. There is, you know, the end of the dock. There is back sort of on shore. And then there's the big shale wall, if you imagine sort of a quarry that wraps around the back of the lagoon. Mm-hmm. Where are you planning on doing the kind of like... reeling in land-based part of this operation from?
I think the shore, right? I mean, you don't want to have to haul this big old fish up over a shale wall, do you?
Well, I think the dock or the shore was what I was picturing. But if there's something that we could put the rope, like, once around so that as Lady Godwin's pulling on it, right? There's kind of a pulley thing happening.
Maybe around the base of the pier?
Can we, hook around? I think that's fine. Yeah, there's definitely, you know, posts embedded in the loam here. Okay, cool. I think give me a survival check, probably Crawford, to like construct this this mechanism.
Generation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Let's see. Okay, and with Hunter's Intuition, I can add a D4 to it. So, survival. That is a 9 plus 7, 16.
Plus a D4?
Plus a D4. Plus a 2, so a 19 total.
18.
Yes, thank you. Matt.
Okay, yeah, I mean, with an 18, you are able to wrap this rope, coil it around one of these piers. There is a sort of a loose brass ring with rivets in it that is sort of like providing support to the pier. You find one that is like without its rivets and loose and are able to kind of coil it around that as a sort of makeshift sort of pulley. So you've set up a pretty tight little situation here. And then what happens?
I tie some beef jerky onto Philo's legs.
Okay, so is Philo going to be the bait and the bobber here? Okay, great. Just making sure I understand the situation.
Well,
how are we going to sink him?
I don't know if we need a bobber or not.
Okay.
How about if I use this thing to turn into an aquatic form?
Okay.
And then I can swim under the water.
Yeah.
And then because if you have an animated hook, which is basically what he's going to be.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
All you got to do is wait for him to hook it.
That's great.
Pull on the line, and you know to reel him in.
Okay, burn that spell slot and tell me what it looks like when Puppet Philo takes on an aquatic form. How do you accomplish this feat with your sort of alchemical form of magic?
He has to use an item,
right,
as the focus of his spells, all of his spells. Technically it is a spell. So I think that he's going to, his magic cross, I think has become his main focus of using his magic. So I think the cross, is what he uses. And
how does a puppet, I guess to reframe my question, how does a puppet turn into an aquatic form? Like, what does that look like? It can be anything.
Well, it's magic.
Listen. I know that.
I don't think Griffin's asking how so much as
I'm not trying to trap or trick you. This works. I'm just saying, what's it look like?
Well, he basically changes into kind of a fishy looking. I think at first glance, it looks like there are painted gills on his neck. His little wooden fingers become webbed.
Mm.
Just for shits and giggles, maybe a wooden dorsal fin.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Comes out of his back.
He's limpeting.
Yeah, he's Mr. Limpet. He's Mr. Limpet.
Fantastic.
And his two little wooden legs become like a merman's tail.
I love that.
Hell yeah.
So he goes full limpet.
Does his shirt
go? Glasses on.
Oh, Dad, you never go full limpet.
Hell no. Uh-uh. He's going to go almost full limpet. Okay. 98% limpet.
Okay.
Okay. And you have a rope tied onto you as well as some jerky?
And I have... Well, do we need the jerky?
I guess it's
up
to you.
If I look like bait fish...
Yeah.
Well, let's take the jerky just to help out.
Yeah, or otherwise I was going to make you do a contested roll to see if Mutt could tie jerky onto you without
you noticing
permission.
I mean, I'm pretty sneaky.
I wouldn't be against it. No, that's all right.
Okay.
I'm going to be out in the boat kind of in between.
Okay.
So that one, the talented Philo Limpet isn't out there by himself.
Got
and
you.
And two, I can kind of communicate back to Lady Godwin when it's like, get ready. I can see it's about to happen.
And you are on the shore holding the rope with this makeshift pulley system, right, Lady Godwin?
Yes.
Okay. Your boat.
I think I've dug in. I've dug in too. I've dug in like a. I'm not standing flat on. I've dug like a little ditch for myself so I can keep my footing easier.
Okay. That's cool. Yeah, I won't make you roll for that. I like that. So, Mutt, your boat. Smoothly cuts across the surface of the water as Gordon Clearwater watches from his boathouse, holding his wife ball nervously watching this. And Brother Philo, you swim into the moonlit waters.
Oh, I think he's going to have to throw me in.
Okay, that's good too.
He's got to throw me in.
Yeah.
He's got to cast.
And your boat sails onto the moonlit waters. Cutting a ribbon across it that reflects the moonlight around as we enter our first fishing minigame.
Hey, a couple quick announcements too before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Thanks to everyone who contributed during this year's Max Fun Drive. We truly couldn't do what we do without you. With the drive in the rearview, it's time for another proud tradition. our annual charity pin sale. This year, the proceeds for the pin sale will support Vote Riders, a nonprofit dedicated to expanding ballot access nationwide. Members at $10 a month or more can purchase Max Fun Drive pins featuring shows from across the network, and all members are able to buy our network pin design, exclusive to this charity sale. The sale is live now, and it ends Friday, April 12th. For more info, head to MaximumFun.org/pinsale. And thanks again for your support.
Time to fish. Let's get a good cast going here.
Wait, before we do.
Yeah.
I would say we already have a pretty good cast going.
Wow, that's really good, Juice. Right? Thank you so much.
All right, that's going to do it for us this week. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, we're tired from that.
Brother Philo says, wait. He kneels and bows his head.
Oh, dear Heavenly Lord.
Is this your first day, man?
Please
read a fucking book.
Bless these efforts. Be with us. Guide us with your heavenly hand. What? And don't let me get killed.
Make a religion check for me, Brother Philo.
Absolutely. Religion check happens to be a +6. So that's 24.
Wow.
On the religion check.
Wow, dang.
Because I won't need an 18 later.
We really, 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 really love God.
With a 24, you see the form of fantasy Jesus standing on the surface of the water, and he just nods at you and winks. He's like, I got you. And then vanishes.
Cast away, my friend Mutt.
No, cast away is the volleyball. This is basketball.
Yeah. Oh, right. That would have been the basketball, yes.
Okay.
We hate that movie.
Yeah, do they not get it?
They don't get
it. Was that Elizabeth?
No, it's a volleyball.
It's her ex-husband. Okay, I throw Philo.
Okay. Make a strength check.
That's not animal handling. Oh, my strength's not bad. Because I'm throwing a fish. artificial 20.
Yeah, artificial 20. You yeet Brother Philo real good. And Brother Philo, you go sailing into the water and you splash down. Your senses are different, right? You get the impression that if you had the normal sort of human stuff, swimming in these waters would be pretty unpleasant. It is pretty viscous and sludgy, as years of sort of runoff from this quarry have thoroughly polluted these waters. But because of the form you have taken, you are able to swim through them sort of unimpeded. What do you do? What's your game plan here?
I think, like any good lure, I will swim down, because you want to go as deep as you possibly can.
Okay.
And then when you do fish, the key is to move like something natural, move like a true little creature of the water.
Okay.
To try to attract its attention. And I have one other idea to do.
Please.
I would like to use my ability of tinker.
Okay.
My action of tinker. And with tinker, you can imbue an object with a 5-foot radius of light.
Okay. Oh, okay, cool. What are you doing that on?
Let's do it on my hat.
Okay.
I'm going to do it on my little pointed Pinocchio hat.
I am now picturing a fish with a little hat on, and I'm very happy.
Very good, and the hat is glowing. So I'm going to say, as you sort of writhe around in the water, like an actual, honest-to-God, tasty, delicious little fishy.
I don't like writhe. I'm kind of elegant in my swimming motion.
Yes, absolutely you are. But I will need a performance check from you to be a fish.
Yes, of course. Performance. That would be a 17.
Oh, you're
beautiful. Oh, my gosh.
A tasty, tasty morsel. Lady Godwin, did you have something?
I was just going to ask Golden if he had any gold boys. I'm out here.
Wait, what?
I'm out here in the sand. I'm doing a little fishing. And I was just curious if you were in possession of any cold boys.
Oh, yeah. Mutt's already popped one open.
Any suds for your buds?
Oh, suds. You said so. Oh, it's a ticket.
He walks over and picks up Elizabeth and gets into the mini fridge underneath her and comes back and is like, what's your poison? You're like, not a light.
A naughty little peeper, maybe?
You hear from the boat. Take the peeper, man.
You're going to have a naughty peeper?
Man, you got to have a naughty peeper. I got a peeper right here.
I'm holding out that the third offering won't be utterly despicable.
Oh, we got a cheeky little Michelob Ultra.
I went too far.
Hey, you wanted cold boys. These boys is the coldest.
Just tell me, do you have the champagne of beers?
Fresh out. But if you like to tap the Rockies, I can see to that.
I'm sorry. I've too recently been a werehorse to trifle with silver bullets. I'm a...
Sounds like a cheeky peeper, then.
And he tosses you an ice-cold, cheeky Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Hell yeah, bud.
And you crack that shit? Do you grip it and rip it?
Yeah, man. Okay.
I actually have here a racial background feature that just allows me to produce an ice-cold peeper whenever I'm fishing.
Sure.
It says right here on my character sheet, anytime I'm fishing,
yeah,
produce one.
Give me a constitution saving throw, Lady Godwin.
Oh, constitution saving throw. What's the gravity on this paper? It's a 23.
Holy shit.
Wow, we're rolling like hell today.
Good Lord. With a 23,
shotgun
you rip this
over paper. 20, I shotgun it, right?
You shotgun it. No kidding. Your body has processed many peepers in its day. Your head is the first time, and a lot of the tastes
are fully developed.
Yeah.
Exactly. Your head, where a lot of the taste action takes place, is new to this experience.
Okay.
Inexplicably, you fucking love it.
Yeah, it's hell yeah, brother.
So good. And it also just makes you better at fishing. So I will give you an advantage on the first sort of check that you need to do.
Good. Hell yeah.
All right. Okay. With a 17, Brother Philo, you are a fish. You're doing an incredible job swimming around idly, thinking your fish thoughts. What do those fish thoughts sound like?
I am going to put a super duper moratorium on any more of Dad's ASMR content. Dad, I love it, but they're not paying enough. They're not paying enough for it.
Yeah, you got to save that. Put that behind a paywall, my bud.
Right. Take that to only Dad's, because it's not.
Oh, God.
Don't do that, Griffin. That don't shame.
No judging here.
Assault Dad's game.
All right. You swim around the water for a few moments.
Inexplicably, I am like starving.
Okay.
I want an earthworm.
Give me a survival check.
I'm afraid Dad's going too deep. Not even Philo. Dad, I'm afraid, isn't going to come back from this transformation.
That's fine.
Well, that's a six. So no worms for me.
Phyla's going to need a kick to get back up several layers of transformation. Like, Dad, how many layers is Dad immersed in now of psyche?
I know we're
pushing Dad to his limits.
I think here's what he's thinking. I think he's going to go full Ernie from Sesame Street. I think he's swimming around going, yeah, fishy, 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 fishy.
Confusing.
Oh, fishy, 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 fishy.
Your fish instincts take over a bit, and you're snuffling for earthworms in the mucky floor of the Black Lagoon. Your light illuminates something behind you as you have your back turned looking for worms. Some reeds in the distance part, and they part very, very far. and from up behind you, you can sense something. You turn around just in time to see it. It is enormous. It is larger than the boat that Crawford Muttner is currently floating on the surface of above. This fish is unlike anything you've ever seen before in the water or otherwise. It has a face like a flayed man with pale, dead eyes and long, needle-like teeth.
Griffin, are you sure you want to conjure that image, not just in the game, but into existence?
It has a bulbous sort of body that tapers off to a long tail barbed with spines. This fish is an unholy abomination, and it looms over you, and it appears ready to strike. You have a moment here, Philo. What do you do?
Panic.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In a flash, you see a cloud of muck kicked upwards, and then the fish devours you. I'm going to say, as you sort of pass through its long rows of needle-like teeth, I'm going to need a dexterity saving throw from you to see how painless an experience that is. This would be a good one to roll high on.
How about 17?
17 is great. You managed to pass through most of the teeth, just sort of very adroitly sort of weaving between them. But the back row of teeth catches you and scratches you, which like on your wooden puppet body wouldn't be a big deal. But with the way that you are transformed, it is going to hit you. And you take 7 points of piercing damage.
Jeez, Mlump. Wait, but I had a roll of 17.
Yeah, I wish you'd rolled 20.
If you'd rolled lower than that, you would have been eaten pretty badly by a fish. Okay. As it is now, you've been eaten by a fish in one of the better ways that
lightly. Okay. You've been lightly eaten.
Lightly. Lady Godwin, you feel a tug on the rope.
I'm going to yank it with all my might.
Okay. Philo, you feel the rope grow tight as the jaws close around you. Your light is still activated. You can see in here. You maybe wish you couldn't. It sucks so bad. What do you do?
Okay. I'm gonna ram the sickle into the wall of the fish's stomach.
Okay, make an attack roll for me. Normally attacking underwater would not go so great, but you have some leverage for the fish you're inside.
Also, I'd have to imagine advantage, because like, how's he gonna miss?
Yeah, well, it's more a question of can he actually get through this fish's stuff.
Oh, I use it as the tavern brawler strike? Can I use that? That seems to be the closest thing to attacking with.
I don't know what that means.
Well, tavern brawler strike is a melee attack using whatever happens to be at hand. You gain the following benefits: increase your strength or constitution score by one.
No, I mean you are doing an attack roll with a weapon. So I think
roll a d20 down.
Well, this says with a weapon.
With an improvised weapon.
All right. So which attack should I click on?
Just roll a d20.
I have a dart. Okay, just a d20.
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
If you have a melee weapon, a quarterstaff or anything like that.
Yeah, just roll that.
Just roll that, because the numbers will be the same.
Quarterstaff. Nat 20.
Holy shit, Matt.
If there ever was a time.
Plus 4.
You managed to plant both feet on the bottom meat of whatever is inside of this fish. And you feel actually pretty sturdy, shockingly sturdy. As you feel the tug on this rope from behind you, you swing the sickle downward and it buries into this thing's gut. There's a spray of water that goes up into the fish as you jab this sickle downwards. And it's a good thing that that happened, because right away, this tug on the rope behind you becomes incredibly strong. And now all of a sudden, you are single-handedly holding this hook into this fish. Mutt, are you doing anything as you sort of watch this from below? You see like lots of bubbles starting to form on the surface, and you watch the rope sort of whip upwards into the water as tension forms on it.
As soon as the tension forms, I'm going to launch the boat towards the shore where Lady Godwin is to assist in the reeling and catching and fighting.
Make an athletics check just to see how fast you can get back there.
Oh, it was almost 18, but it was a 2. So that's a 5, Griffin.
Okay, you're struggling. You are one of the oars accidentally slips down into the water, and now you're just kind of going in a circle.
It was a motorboat.
Yeah. Okay, the motor won't start. Okay. That's good. Cool. Yeah, the motor won't start. Okay. You're on the surface ripping and roaring, make a stealth check for me, please.
Okay. 17 total.
Okay. You see, just for a second, the light from Philo's hat shining through the needle-like teeth of this fang-toothed fish as it splashes upwards out of the water. It seemed to be attracted by the sound of the motor, but with that stealth check, it loses interest and just sort of splashes up out of the water nearby and back down. Lady Godwin, now this thing is trying to swim away from you, and the pressure on the rope is going to be pretty high.
I'm just pulling it as hard as I can.
Okay, give me a strength check, please.
With advantage.
I'll give you advantage because of this great ditch that you've dug for yourself.
Well, and the peeber, right?
And the peeber, yeah.
Hold on. I get an advantage from a ditch, and I want to save my peeber advantage because I can't.
No. I remembered you had advantage, but I didn't remember it was from the cheeky peeber that you dug.
All right, boss. Let's see here. Strength check. Seventeen.
You start to just go hand over hand on this rope, pulling it in. It is the greatest sort of feat of strength that has been required of you in this new body. And you find yourself being taxed, but finding like a second wind that you didn't really know this form was capable of. You go hand over hand with the rope.
That's the power of beer.
Power of beer. As you start to yank this.
Drinking is cool, kids. Beer rules. It makes you stronger and better at stuff. Winners drink. Drinkers win.
This is the situation. Brother Philo, you are
situation.
Hey, it's me. I'm on the Jersey Shore over here.
Every time I say the word situation, you reference fucking Jersey Shore, a cultural artifact. That
I'm going to continue to do that bit.
Okay.
GTL, Gymtown Laundry, baby.
Yeah. You, here is the scenario.
Huh? Hi, it's me. It's younger brother of the scenario. I'm kind of the math one.
Weave your magic.
Brother Philo, you are in the belly of this giant fang-toothed fish, holding on for dear life as you serve as the hook, the connection between Lady Godwin on the shore and the hook in this fish's belly. Mutt, you are on the surface of the water in a boat, the motor of which will not start. Lady Godwin, you are pulling for dear life and making progress as you yank this fish into shore. In fact, you see its horrible spines poke out of the surface of the water. It is about as far away as the end of the pier now, and it is getting closer despite its violent protestations. Nearby, on the ground, Lady Godwin, you see one of your bags rustle and move of its own volition. Make a perception check for me.
Okay.
So we're getting ads now from Russell Equipment. The Bat Russell bag?
Yes. I guess.
Nine.
You don't notice this bag rustling, actually. But it we do, the audience.
So you wasted my time for sure.
Well, not quite, because the bag rustles for a moment. And then a thing pops out of it and flies at you. And when it gets very, very close, you can see what it is. It is Dracula's head with bat wings sprouting out of its ears. And as he flies towards you after leaping from your bag, he yells,
"Jump scare!"
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported
directly
by you.